All right, guys, how are we doing tonight? Yes, good to see everybody. Hey, welcome to M12. We're glad you guys are here tonight. And last week, we started a brand new series called Circles. And in this series, here's what we're doing. We're looking at three key relationships in all of our life, right? We're looking at three very key relationships. And last week, what we started with was this big idea, or if you were with us, and if you weren't, I'm going to tell you, the main idea or the bottom line statement last week was this idea that God must be first, right? That God must be first. And in our life, when it comes to relationships and friendships and people that we know, that if God is not at the center, right? We talked about the word core. If God is not at the core, if he is not most important in our life, then relationships are not going to be the way that God intended them to be. But see, here's the tough part that we didn't really get to is that that is a battle that you're going to face pretty much every day. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We're going to face the battle of whether or not to have God at the core or not. And a lot of times what we're taught and what we learn from people and from TV and music is that other things are supposed to be most important, that other things are supposed to be in the center or at the core. So it could be a friend of yours, right? It could be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It could be, a talent that you have is the center of your life. It could be even a family member, right? And it's not bad to love your family, but when they take the place of where God needs to be, which is in the center, at the core, being the most important part, remember, God must be first. And so when we do that, though, then relationships are not going to work out the way they're supposed to. They're not going to make sense the way that they were supposed to. So you might be here tonight, and you might say, you know, I don't know that God's really at the core of my life. I don't know that God's really at the center of my life. And so maybe for you tonight, you need to talk with one of these leaders that is around you in one of these shirts, or you can come and talk to me, and we can tell you what that means, and we can tell you what it means to invite Christ in your life so that he becomes the core part of your life, the most important part of your life. So, but tonight, here's what I want to do. I want to move to the next key relationship that is in all of our lives, and I want to refer to this as community. Now, you guys don't make fun of my artistic ability, but if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to draw three concentric circles, just like a bullseye. That's pretty good, kind of like an oval, no big deal. But God, we said God is at the center, right? God is at the core. God is the most important. And again, when this isn't true, when this is not true, then relationships are not going to make sense the way that God intended them to be. And so tonight, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about community, which is a very long word, and it takes me a little bit to write. So I want to talk about community tonight. And tonight, I want to go ahead and give you the most important statement. So if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this. Here it is. Bottom line, together is better. Together is better. So at M12, every single Wednesday night, you guys and girls are going to go into a small group. And small groups are the most important thing that we do here. Because that's where you're going to get to know people. That's where you're going to get to be with some of your friends or maybe some of your schoolmates or with a leader that you really know well. And that's where you're going to really get to be known and get to make friendships and build, right, build a strong community in your life. And so together is better, meaning that God did not create you and I to live in isolation. He wants us to have community around us, and he wants us, right, to have people in our life that we are in relationship with, right? So it's kind of like a Reese's peanut butter cup. You know, here's the thing about Reese's. There is a reason why when you buy one of these, there are two in the package, right? It's because we're better together. Together is better. Now, here's the deal. I don't know about you, but when I go to the store and they have the one package, it's just not the same, man, as a normal Reese's peanut butter cup. Now, did anybody have a birthday this week by chance? A birthday? Come join me. Come join me. This is for you. This is for you. Happy birthday. There you go. Oh, sorry. Okay. Now, let me ask you guys a couple questions. Let me ask you a couple questions. How about social media? How many of you guys have an Instagram account? Just raise your hand, Instagram account. Okay. Now, be honest with me. Be completely honest. How many of you are on your Instagram more than 4 hours a day? Seriously? 4 hours a day. Wow. Okay. Okay. Let me ask you this. How about, how many of you guys and girls, how many of you have a texting plan, some kind of texting plan, right, with your cell phone? All right. How many of you text 30 times a day, 30 more texts a day that you send? Yeah, I probably do that too. What about 50? 50? Okay. Here's the reason why. Let's make sure we understand why social media, why you guys are bombarded and you're always on your Instagram and you're always texting people, because together is better. And God created us and designed us to have community. We don't want to live in isolation. Now, sometimes, even if, you know, if you're an introvert, you like to be alone, but there's still times, even if you're an introvert, that you like to be with your friends, that you like to be with other people. And that's God ordained and God designed. That's the way that God created us to be, because we love community. And I don't know if you guys know this, but we actually have a texting system here at M12. If you text 12 stone MSM to 40650, you can be entered into our text and you can get all of our event updates and all that kind of stuff. So I encourage you to do that. Here's what's really funny, though, when it comes to community. When it comes to community, this community circle, right, which is basically the people that you allow to influence you. That's how we want to define that, the people that influence you. And so in community, what I think is funny is that guys and girls are very, very different when it comes to community. Let me explain. So even tonight on the bridge, it worked perfectly, right? Walk up to a guy. And as guys, we don't want to show too much emotion, so we just give the quick, you know, the quick, what's up, dude, and then that's it, you know, or the fist bump, hey, how you doing? And we're good. We walked, you know, away from each other. But girls, which I love you girls, you guys are awesome. But number one, you love going to the bathroom together, right? You guys... I mean, you love living in community even when you're going to the bathroom, right? Or think about this. Here's what's really funny. What's really funny is that the girls in this room, and you guys may disagree, but you're wrong. So the girls in this room, though, you guys are at school for 8 hours a day, 7 hours a day, whatever, right? And then, so you see your friends at school, or some of your friends at school, and then that night you go to the mall. And so that night at the mall, you see the same girls that you saw like an hour ago, but when you see them, you act like you've never seen them before. It's like overwhelmingly cool. It's like, how in the world? You're here. I'm here. This is awesome. And here's why. Here's why. Together's better. Together is always better. And that's why small groups matter so much at M12. That's why we want to give you guys time to get to know people every single week here at M12. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I am a fan of Coke over Pepsi. Coke over Pepsi. Yeah. And so I forgot to bring them, but I have two cans of Coke in my office. One says Buddy, and one says Bros. Right? It's awesome because those are two words that I like to use a lot, buddy and bros, you know? But the whole idea of what you guys are seeing from Coke, which if I can just say is brilliant, by the way, the whole idea of them putting names and friends or whatever, it's all centered on community. Every single bit of it is centered on community because we're better together, or excuse me, together is better. And I want to play a quick video for you guys. This is a really cool thing. Coke did this. They had this idea where they wanted to take a specific bottle of Coke to a college campus to force people to talk to each other. And so the bottle cap that's on the Coke can't be opened by yourself. Check it out. That's a brilliant idea, man. I love that idea. And here's the whole point, is that it's centered around community. It's centered around this idea that we need other people in our life, that we can't do things alone. We're not supposed to live in isolation. And what I want to do is read a passage to you in Ecclesiastes 4. It's going to come on the screen. Maybe a passage you've heard, and maybe you haven't, but listen up. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. It's such a good reminder here that together is better. It's simple. It's two are better than one. Two are always better than one, because if the one falls down, then the other person can help him up, can pick him up. And then it continues going on, and it says that three are even better, that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken, right? And so think about your life. Think about this circle in your life. Think about your community. And I want you to think, here's a question that I want to give you, that I want you to just let it sit. Who do you allow to influence you the most? I don't want you to answer that. I want you to just think about it. If you're taking notes, maybe you write down their names. But in your life, who do you allow to influence you the most? Now, what's cool about this whole idea of community is that it happened in the Old Testament in a really cool way. There's a story in Exodus chapter 17, and I want to read it to you guys. Actually, if you have a Bible, it should be underneath you or in front of you. You can turn open to page 73 with me. And I want to read this passage, but let me set this up. Moses is the man that God chose to lead God's people, the Israelites, right, out of bondage and slavery to the Egyptians. So Moses leads the Israelites out of slavery from the Egyptians. And so what happens is they escape the Egyptians, right? And the Israelites, they start to complain, they get hungry, they get thirsty. So God does this stuff where he feeds them and they get their water. And so what happens in Exodus 17 is this army called the Amalekites, who were big, bad, brutal guys, right? The Amalekites, they come and they start fighting the Israelites. They start fighting the Israelites. And I want to read this to you. This is beginning in verse number 10. It says, "So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur," so three men, "Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone," "but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him so he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword." So here's what's happening. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they go up to the top of this mountain. They're watching this battle happen. And literally, when Moses' arms are in the air, now, I don't know if you guys have ever just, for the fun of it, raised your arms in the air, okay? You don't have to do that. But they don't last long. Like, they're going to get tired eventually, right? And so the whole point is that when Moses was on top of the mountain, when his arms were raised up in the air, right, the Israelite army was defeating the Amalekites. But when his arms grew tired and his arms fell down to his side, they began to lose. And so what happened was Aaron and Hur, his community, if you will, they sat him down on a stone. One stood on his right, one stood on his left, and they held his arms up until sunset. I mean, that's a significant amount of time, so that the Israelite army could win. Here's the question that I want to ask you. Who in your life is like an Aaron and Hur? Maybe you don't necessarily have someone like that. Maybe that's something that God would grant to you. Maybe that's something God would give to you this year at M12 and through M12. But the bottom line is that together is always better. But here's the caution. This is the caution. Choose wisely. Choose wisely who you allow to influence your life. So if we're talking about the circle of community, choose wisely who you allow to speak into your life. Choose wisely the friends that you hang out with. The Bible says it like this, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. If you want to make smart decisions, hang out with smart people. Pretty simple. Walk with the wise, and you will become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. It might be time for some of you to look at the people that you hang out with. Now, here's what I want to make sure you don't hear me saying. What I'm not saying tonight is that you should not have friends in your life that maybe aren't Christians, that maybe don't go to church like you go to church. I believe you should have friends in your life that are lost, that need Jesus. But it becomes a different story when you allow them to be a part of your community and they start influencing you. This happened to me in high school tons of times. I had a good friend named Jeremy. He's still a great friend of mine. But the problem is that his relationship with God was pretty much non-existent, and I was always at church. But he was my best friend. And we talked about God a lot, and he asked a lot of questions about God. Maybe some of your friends ask you some questions about God. That's great. The problem that happened, though, is that instead of me influencing him, he began to influence me. And that began to affect my relationship with God. It began to hurt my relationship with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says like this. It says, bad company corrupts good morals. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, my dad used to quote that passage and quote that series of words over and over again. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You are going to become who you hang out with. And a lot of times I just would ignore my dad and just be like, whatever, it's all good, you know, just like some of you. But the truth is, he was right. He was right. It's not that you can't influence people that aren't Christians. You certainly can, and we pray that you do. But when you surround yourself with those people all the time, a lot of times what ends up happening is they end up influencing you to do things that you don't want to or that you shouldn't. There's another passage that says it like this, wicked friends leads to evil ends. I love that. Wicked friends leads to evil ends. So here's the question, or here's the thought. In this circle of community, we know that together is better. But who are you allowing to influence you? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? Who are you allowing to affect your life? It's very, very simple. If you choose good friendships and healthy friendships, right, and live in healthy community, then that is going to make a huge difference in your life, just like it's made a huge difference in mine. But if you choose to have friends that are not a good influence on you, or they encourage you to do the opposite of what God wants you to do, that is equally going to affect your life, but not in a good way. Now, I want to show this to you because here's what happens when we talk about this idea of community, especially as it relates to together is better. Because what happens is we begin hanging out with people that are not the best influences on our life. And imagine before the tea goes in the water, this is a healthy friendship. This is what a healthy friendship looks like. It's just a visual, just to kind of give you a picture. So it's just clear water. There's nothing dirty. There's nothing in it. Just a picture of a healthy friendship. And what happens is slowly, just like the tea is going to do, we begin hanging out with people that are not the best influences. Or at one time, we were influencing them, and yet what happens is they began influencing us. And we may not notice it right away. It's kind of a gradual change. It's kind of slow. Maybe it starts with your attitude. Then it goes to your language. Then it goes to, man, you start back-talking your parents because that's what they do. And so you kind of watch what they do. And so it's this idea that you begin to feel like you have to do what they do. And so what happens over time, not right away, but kind of slowly, is that a healthy community becomes contaminated. A healthy community becomes dirty because you allow people to live in this circle. Now, next week, we're going to talk about this last circle, the circle of compassion, which is where your friends who don't know Christ should stay. So you've got to keep your distance because community are the people that pour into you. Community are the people that influence you. The community are the people that affect you. And I know that I speak for all the leaders in this room. What we don't want to happen in your life is we don't want this to look like your community. We would rather your community, the people that influence you, to be healthy. And that's why, again, small groups are so important, because what we hope happens at M12 every week is that when you go to your small group, that you're with other guys or other girls that you get to know well, that they get to know you well, that you can tell things that'll stay in that group and won't leave the group. You can talk about things that are very personal. You can talk about things that are very important. You can be prayed for. You can be real with the people that are in your group. So here's what I want to do to end tonight. I want to answer the question, what do you do with all this? What do you do with this idea that together is better? What do you do with this idea of choosing wisely your friendships and the people that you allow to live in your circle of community? Well, I think it's very simple. I want to give you two quick things that are super easy for you to do. One is ask God to give you healthy friendships. That's the first do of tonight. Ask God to give you healthy friendships. It might be time to kind of take this friendship inventory, if you will, and think to yourself, who is influencing me the most? Who do I allow to pour into my life the most? And is that the healthiest thing for me? Is that the healthiest person? Again, I would never tell you to defriend them. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a difference when someone you're influencing versus someone influencing you. There's a big difference. So pray and ask God to give you healthy friendships. And secondly, this is what you're going to talk about a lot tonight in your grade group time, is begin to ask or pray for an accountability partner. Begin to pray for an accountability partner. Now, students, I want to be honest with you tonight. If I could have figured out the importance of having accountability when I was in middle school, I think that my middle school journey would have been a lot better than it was. I think it would have been a lot smoother, if you will, than it was. And I want to define very, very quickly what accountability really looks like. Accountability is a little bit further than a healthy friendship. It begins with friendship, but it goes a little farther than that. So simply put, an accountability partner is someone of the same gender that you are. So girls, girls, and guys with guys. Accountability is someone of the same gender. Accountability is someone is probably going to be in your grade or maybe just a little bit older than you, not super older than you. If they get super older than you, then that becomes a mentor. But accountability partner is someone that's closer to your age. Accountability partner is someone that you trust and someone that trusts you. Someone that you trust and someone that trusts you. Someone that you can count on and someone that they can count on you, right? That if you call them, that they're going to answer. That if you need them, that you're going to be there to talk with them, to hang out with them, to encourage them, to listen to them, laugh with them, cry with them, whatever that could be, whatever that could look like. Accountability partner is someone that will speak truth into your life and someone that you will speak truth into theirs, right? Because accountability doesn't work if you're not honest. Doesn't work if you're not honest. And accountability is someone who will pray for you and you can pray for them. Now, I'm going to be honest. I haven't always done accountability partners the best. Sometimes I've chosen the wrong people. Maybe it was people that I couldn't trust or people that weren't being truthful with me, right? But when you choose the right person, and maybe you already have someone in mind, maybe God is already starting to kind of stir in here and give you names of people that could really fit that description to be an accountability partner. But here's the way it works practically, is maybe you meet every week at M12 at 6:45, 6:50, you get here, and you guys just meet for a few minutes. It's somebody, I met with my accountability partner on yesterday morning. And it's somebody that I know is going to ask me some very difficult questions. One of which, hey man, have you been spending time with God? Have you been using your time wisely? It's a guy that I know is going to ask me tough questions, and in that moment, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be real with him. I'm going to be truthful to him because I want him to be able to trust me and for me to trust him. And so here's my encouragement to you tonight. When it comes to community, remember the question. Who are you allowing to influence you? Who are you allowing to affect your life? That's the question that I want you to ask. Even when you get to your grade groups tonight, who are you allowing to influence you the most? And remember, in this circle of community, together is better. That's the way God created us to be. God created us to live in community and have people that we do life with. And our prayer for you is that some of those people would be the people that come to M12, that you guys get together every week and you guys get to live in community together. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you guys, and then we'll wrap up. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us, who cares for us. Father, that you desire for us to live in community. You didn't create us to live in isolation, but rather you created us to live in community with other people. And so I pray for these students. I pray that you would begin to give them healthy friendships if they don't already have them. I pray that you would really begin to speak to them about who do they allow to influence their life. I pray that you, God, would begin to put people, maybe even people in this very room, on their minds about who a possible accountability partner could be for them. And so, God, we thank you, God. We love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.